Well, in any event, I'd like to spend just a few minutes visiting with you about the stock market. Of course, it's certainly no secret that stocks continue their inexorable climb upward, despite a slumping U.S. housing market, despite weakening corporate earnings, and despite $90 a barrel of oil just last night. In fact, many of the major stock indices, both in the United States and abroad, perhaps with the exception of the volatility today, for the first time this year are either approaching their all-time highs or have even surpassed previous records. For example, the S&P 500 index through last night's close, as well as the Dow Jones Industrials through last night's close, both are within about 1% of their all-time highs. And these results really pale in comparison to some of the international emerging markets, for example. The China 600, can you imagine this number, up 183% year-to-date. Hong Kong up 47% year-to-date. India up 35% year-to-date. South Korea up 38% year-to-date. And the list indeed goes on. It now appears that for the fourth consecutive year, stocks may well enjoy positive returns. Of course, the inevitable and rather obvious question arises, is now a good time to invest in the stock market? Or should we be selling stocks and preserving some of those handsome gains that we may have realized over the last 3 to 3.5 years? I'll be honest with you, that's a very, very tough question. But the answer begins by mathematically looking at our own portfolios, our own assets, and really the allocation of those assets. In other words, what percent of our assets are currently invested in stocks? What percent are currently invested in fixed income, hard assets such as gold, and perhaps real estate, whether it's residential, commercial, farmland, etc.? Clearly, all of us need liquidity. There's no question about it. And that becomes especially important in retirement. Hence, fixed income or money markets, savings accounts, certificates of deposit, all of these are vital as part of an overall portfolio. Yet most of us would like to continue to participate in the stock market. Here's my suggestion. Make certain that, especially if you are no longer working, that you are in retirement, have enough in liquid securities and or income from any and all sources so that you would not be forced to sell stocks for any consecutive 36-month period of time. In other words, have enough liquid securities, fixed income, CDs on hand so that if the stock market starts to head south, you can access your liquid securities to live on as opposed to selling stocks. Could stocks head south for, say, 3 straight years, perhaps 36 straight months, even in a well-diversified portfolio? The answer is clearly yes. One need look no further than the period 2000, 2001, and 2002. The key is not to be forced to sell stocks in those inevitable periods of time when stocks decrease in value. Remember, regardless of how diversified our portfolio is, we can't overcome something called market risk. That's the risk simply of being in the stock market and the stock market on those occasions heading in the wrong direction. For those individuals with a retirement portfolio of securities, a reasonable asset allocation is generally in the area of 40 to 60% stocks or 40 to 60% fixed income, depending upon your comfort level. Additionally, to the extent that you are invested in stocks, you want, of course, to be effectively diversified. So you need to get together with your planner, your financial advisor, and take a look at the mathematics of your portfolio and see what is the true volatility of your portfolio. Here are the questions that you want to ask your financial advisor. Given my current portfolio, what is the expected return of my portfolio? And secondly, what is the range of returns that I could expect, either positively or negatively in my portfolio, to at least one standard deviation, which means at least about two-thirds of the time? What's my expected return, and what would be that range of returns? Now, of course, one example of stock diversification is our current couch potato portfolio consisting of 8 stock indices. It can be found, of course, on the WILL website. Go to Focus 580, click links, and there you'll see it, Couch Potato Portfolio. Well, how are we doing? Through yesterday's close, our portfolio is ahead 11.08% year-to-date. Now, that's including dividends year-to-date, but again, that's pretty decent. While our benchmark, what's the S&P 500 doing inclusive of dividends? The S&P is ahead 10.08% year-to-date. So we're about 100 basis points ahead of the S&P 500. Last month, we were about 150 points behind the S&P 500. So one of the reasons that the portfolio has surged ahead is because of our international exposure. 30% of our equity position is indeed internationally invested. And for anyone who has been internationally invested, they've been pretty happy this year because those types of asset classes have far outperformed U.S. stocks, and folks have got to be very happy if they're so invested. Now, in spite of the market reaching new highs, let's consider a strategy for investing in a portfolio. All right? You've got some liquid cash. You want to be more exposed to the stock market. What might be an intelligent approach? And again, I'm suggesting a well-diversified portfolio, either through an index strategy or perhaps with your financial advisor. My suggestion would be to begin investing somewhere between 25 and 30% of the money that you wish to commit to the market. So you could go today, tomorrow. I try to buy on a down day. It looks pretty nasty right now today on the stock market. I guess that's that October 19th that everybody is very concerned about because it was, what, about 18 or 20 years ago when on an October 19th the stock market in one day dropped 22%, the major indexes. That was a pretty bloody day on Wall Street. So here we're on one of those anniversaries. Well, in any event, it doesn't seem or it doesn't appear that that's going to happen, at least at the moment. So I would not feel reticent about investing 20 to 30% of my money that I'm sitting on the sidelines. And then with the rest of the money, dollar cost averaging the remaining funds over a 12 to 18 month period of time. Now, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about dollar cost averaging. A lot of you know what it is, but dollar cost averaging in a nutshell simply means investing the same fixed sum of money each month or each period of investment into a series of investments. That's really all it is. If the market moves down, your money buys more cheaper shares of the position. If the market moves up, you end up buying fewer shares, which are more expensive. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to be in a position when money markets and move down that you can take more of your money and buy more shares. When stocks are expensive, the same amount of money is buying less shares. So in volatile times, like the present, dollar cost averaging really makes a lot of sense because the real winner at the end of the day is the individual with the most shares. When you invest in the stock market, remember, you are in the share accumulation business. You are not in the price accumulation business. There is a big time difference. And as a result, dollar cost averaging helps you accumulate shares. Well, in any event, despite today's volatility, we'll have to stay tuned to see if 2007 represents, well, a fourth consecutive year of substantial gains in the stock market. What the stock market seems to be telling us is that our economy will not fall into recession and that the Federal Reserve will continue to move aggressively to even lower interest rates if they feel necessary to avoid, obviously, a very nasty housing market, a very nasty mortgage crisis from further spreading in the economy.